Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to, you don't actually have to call, but this is a philosophy show, and blogtalkradio.com/philosophy, and my name is Thomas, I'll be your host tonight, and we'll talk about philosophy, and so just hang tight and look out. The name of the show today is called How to Make Sure Artificial Intelligence Doesn't Eventually Kill Us. Now, that actually from major, I guess you could say, players or scientists, that is one of the greatest fears. In fact, some people have stated it as one of the top things that could eventually kill us. I mean, our whole species on Earth as a whole, like there's, you know, global warming is one of those things that we have to look for. So that should be possibly a high priority, whether you believe in that or not, is another debate. But another thing that could totally wipe us out catastrophically is a meteorite crashing into us. And I think that's something we should prepare for and, you know, have things that map out all the different asteroids, find ways of detecting them, you know, 100 years out, hopefully, and hopefully have some, like, lasers or things to either push them away or, you know, whatever, get them away. But then, you know, nuclear war, that's another thing. Some people say we're at the 11th hour on a 12-hour clock. And then some people say artificial intelligence because we could be getting near that or it could be 50 years away. People say we're only seeing technology now that is that has been there for, like, we're always seeing stuff that's like 100 years out or 50 years out or something like that. So what we're seeing now was everything now has been pretty much available for the last 50 years in the military and probably corporations or who knows what. So, and who knows, maybe some people think we're living in a simulation and a hologram, et cetera, anyways, but even so, we are developing, at least publicly, artificial intelligence. I mean, we see a lot of movies about it. We see movies where the artificial intelligence turns on the human, either from their own sense of self-defense. You know, lots of movies like that. Everything from AI to The Matrix to whatever else. I'm not sure if AI was like that, but The Matrix, there's been lots and lots of movies. And is that just truth reflecting reality or it's just a nice story or what? So it's kind of like it's kind of like that, or it could be something that it unintentionally does, whether it's intentional or unintentional, like, because we might program it to, I mean, simple little things like program it to make sure no one ever gets cancer again. If we don't program the right parameters into it, you know, it might decide, because we didn't, you know, and this is just a simple example, there's probably more complex examples, it might decide, well, kill all the people. That's one way to make sure people don't have cancer anymore, because it's a robot, it doesn't know, unless if you put in all the different variables that it might eventually ask itself in doing this goal that it's been sent out to do, then it may very well just find some kind of shortcuts, you know, and so we might set it to make it as a goal to save energy for the Earth. It might end up, you know, causing nuclear war and making sure the population's only like 1,000 people or something, and that might settle its, you know, make its goal come true. So we don't know how, once we program something into a super intelligence. It's going to be, you know, learning exponentially, and only focusing on this goal, whether it actually has a conscience or not, or self-interest or not, where it kind of goes on its own at a certain point, turn on us to achieve that goal, you know, and either intentionally or unintentionally. And that is a big concern, like the CEO of Tesla and lots of other scientists have seriously debated this as a possibility. So you probably already know that. So here's, I think, the answer. How to make sure artificial intelligence doesn't eventually kill us. I mean, what are all the things we're making artificial intelligence for or trying to do? To be our servants, right? That's one thing. And in a sense, that might kind of generally encompass every subject, but because we all need to serve each other, and that is just part of being alive. But, you know, we've tried to make it master chess and at video games. Some artificial intelligence have learned video games on their own. You know, and for math and for stock markets, probably, I'm sure that will be used for science, for weather patterns and estimates. But one thing we haven't made it for, which I really think, and here's what I've been getting around to right now, is that maybe we need to program it and try to make program. And in a sense, you can also think of this as almost like humans. I mean, when you think of the question, how do you make sure artificial intelligence doesn't kill us? Maybe we should think about, how do we make people not want to kill each other? Is you got to make philosophy its highest priority. Imagine you have an artificial intelligence, and it's because a philosophy is a science you can do in your mind or writing on paper. It does require some memory, but you know, it's considering all the possibilities. And you know, I can give you an example here of how, if it was programmed philosophically, like what kind of calculations it would be making here. And you know, and that's something that we should be taught, because it is fun and something we'll want to do. And so maybe we should, instead of making the greatest chess thing, make the greatest philosophical program. And I bet, you know what, I wonder if at the end it'll just say, you know, the greatest rule of all is, you know, pretty much the golden rule. Do unto others as you want done unto yourself. And this means that you would probably end up with a computer program that, you know, will have a sense of self preservation, but at the same time, as long as no one else hurts it, that it will want to get along and interact with others the same way. And so that's what it'll probably end up doing. But what it'll probably consider is it'll consider questions. Like, it'll consider, like, if it's programmed as the number one objective is philosophy, then its number one question will be, what is, you know, the greatest good, whether that's at the individual level or whatever. And what are the consequences of what it does? You know, I'll have to ask itself, you know, if I do this as a solution, what are the consequences of it? And you have to think of that in the who, what, where, why, how. Then it's going to need to think of like different what-if scenarios. And then it's going to have to consider everything, because even the question that it's trying to figure out, you have to figure out the definitions. Like, I could ask you a question, and it could mean two totally different things to two totally different people. And so it's also going to have to think about contradictions. Like, does this defeat the whole purpose of the initial intention? And if it does, is that better or worse? And what are the paradoxes of this whole situation? And what are the principles that it's seeking out? What's the principle of it? Principle to actually get this goal done, or is the principle, you know, something else? I mean, if the end result is, you know, curing cancer or something, but you just kill the patient, then what is the principle of that? Is that's in some way, yeah, that person's no longer going to get cancer, but they're no longer going to get anything. So if you had an artificial intelligence that considered philosophy and principles, it would hopefully be able to figure all this out. But I think, you know, that would probably be the greatest chance of having artificial, advanced artificial intelligence not wiping us all out, per se, is making it like, you know, a philosopher king. Now, it might end up having some problems with us, but it might not kill us to do the thing. And maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe it could still end up being evil. I mean, we don't know. It might try to force us to be good to each other or something. But it's hard to say. I mean, we could at least try to make programs. It'd be interesting, though, to see how it scientifically answers those philosophical questions. And also, and that's something, does that peak at some point, or is there more to keep on going with that? I mean, principally at least, because pretty much the principles we have now are timeless. That's why documents like the Bill of Rights are timeless. You know, that's why some things are timeless. You know, kind of like do unto others as you want done unto yourself, in certain rules and principles. And those are the same now as they were, you know, 2,000 years ago, as they were 4,000 years ago, and so on. And so they don't matter. It's just the means and the ways are different, but the actual equation behind it, the math is the principle. 2 + 2 is still going to equal 4, but the actual object might be different. You know, whether it's 2 apples, 2 oranges, 2 apples and 2 oranges, or 2 apples and 2 apples. So that's, I think, at this point, I don't think we, at least publicly, have the artificial intelligence that's going to spur its own conscience and stuff like that. But it would be interesting, because we have to try to program it to do philosophy. And it doesn't mean that we would have to accept what something like that would say as the best, although what we would consider is this. It doesn't matter where the argument comes from. It's the argument itself. So it doesn't matter. Now, you could say some things have a reputation, but the argument is kind of like, and that's what's truly fair, and that's what's truly egalitarian, is you take the arguments and not who it's coming from. It could come from someone you hate. It could come from someone you love, but that statement's either a true statement or a false statement, and that it has a principle behind it, and it might have multiple principles behind it. So it might be from someone you agree or disagree with. It could come from Hitler or Jesus, but, you know, you have to consider the argument on its own. It could come from a Democrat or a Republican. It doesn't matter, and you can't have guilt by association for an argument or for a point or for a fact. Now, certain things could matter who it comes from. Like if someone's offering you a service, then you would consider who that's coming from, whether you trust them or not. But we're talking about just principles, and there's a difference in the world between that. And so, and again, for yourself, that is what philosophy is. If you want to really hear about how to see a philosophical argument self-evolving, You look at my very, very first video, Something from Nothing, with a question mark. It's you start with a simple question and then you go all throughout it, you know. Like a simple question might be, is it wrong to preemptively strike someone? Or should you only strike someone in self-defense? So that would be the question. You know, that's a very cool philosophical question. That's not what my first show is on, by the way, but that is another question that I just thought of. That would be a good example. And then so how you would philosophically, which is a mental science, how you would approach that would be, one, finding the definition. So what do you consider a strike? What do you, consider self-defense? What do you consider first? Because if you feel like someone's infringing on you, you know, where do you draw the line between, you know, well, you kind of want probably everyone to have the same rules. So what would you consider fair for someone to strike you first in as a preemptive way? Or what would be fair for all of us in the world to live together and not preemptively strike each other first? You know, you could say if someone else is harboring evil people that are meant to hurt you, then you could say, really, you're not really preemptively striking them. They've already made the first move that's against you. And if they don't stop, then you're going to attack them. But you haven't really gone first if you're giving them a warning, maybe. Or, you know, these are just all different possibilities to think out. So you want to think of these consequences, because if you do strike someone else first, then have you given the green light for other people to strike you first and each other, and then we just have chaos without any order? So what would be the perfect order? The perfect order would be no one can strike each other first. It has to be in self-defense. Otherwise, everyone would be striking each other and we'd all go mad, right? So you have to think about the consequences of who, what, when, where, how, and why. And if you have to answer all those questions, and if you can't think of one in one, then try to think of one in one. Like who, you know, and can you do that on behalf of someone else? You know, why, how, you know, if it's just verbal warnings, or is this an actual strike, or is it completely wiping them out, or is it just partially disabling them, or is it just, what is it? What kind of engagement is it? How severe is it? And is it something that gives them an out? Is it something that's fair? Is it something that you would want done to your own self? And then you have to think about what if the possibilities are. And then you have to think about the consequences again. And any contradictions, you know, is there a paradox here? What are the principles? The principles are, well, eventually comes down to, you don't want to do anything to someone else that you wouldn't want them to do unto you, right? And so you wouldn't want someone pre-striking you, but you would understand that they would want to self-defend if you went into their territory. Now, if you go into their territory accidentally versus with malicious intent, I mean, if you go into someone's territory accidentally, usually they'll say, hey, you're in my territory, please get out. And so that'd be more legitimate. And if you never had any ill intent in the first place, maybe they could tell that. And then so you have to find a principle out of this whole thing. And so what is a principle out of this whole thing? You know, you could think of it as a couple different principles. One principle would be, you know, common rules of engagement of self-defense or striking or first preemptive attempts. And what are the long-term principles of this and doing unto others as we want them to do unto ourselves? Intentions versus consequences and actions. And so, which, by the way, the consequences are the intentions and do matter, but over, you know, necessarily always intentions, although intentions do matter too. So here's another thing you could take apart in a philosophical, mental way is what matters more, someone's intentions or their actual actions and results. And, okay, well, that is about it tonight, and so thank you for listening and engaging. So, yeah, maybe someday we'll see a artificial intelligence be a philosopher, and actually, is that a paradox in itself, artificial intelligence? I mean, it is just a fancy name, but what is the definition of artificial intelligence? What's the definition? We know the definition of intelligence. What's the definition of artificial? It just probably means man-made. Well, how is it man-made? Is it man-made by having sex and having babies? Because that's also man-made. And who made us? And so are we artificial? So is it just intelligence? I mean, either have it or not. And is that a paradox? And so how do we prevent us from killing each other? Is philosophy. And unfortunately, not everyone has philosophy as their number one priority, or not every corporation does. You know, corporation is kind of like a man-made being that has no conscience. You know, it has goals that it has to satisfy its, you know, stockholders and stuff, you know. But, all right, so, and, well, thank you for listening to the Philosophy Show. This is kind of what we talk about. If you want to call in real quick, I'm going to end the show. We have about 8 more minutes left. You can always call in to area code 646-929-1344. Again, that's 646-929-1344. And that's the guest call-in number right now. And visit us again at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. And visit my YouTube channel, please. YouTube.com/blastoffreshair. And like it, subscribe, share it, and keep spreading, you know, this wonderful philosophy, ultimately the philosophy of philosophy in itself, and of understanding, and of making sure that, you know, we interact by arguments. And I don't mean arguing by yelling at each other. I just mean of recognizing, you know, whatever is the most valid points. When you strip away everything of the who, what, when, where, whys, and hows, what do you have left over? What's the most refined principle that there's remaining? And then you accept it, unless if you can find something that more outweighs it. And it's a point by itself, not who it's coming from. It doesn't matter if it comes from Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders or Hillary Rodham Clinton or Jeb Bush the Third or whatever. It's the point to be made. And that's how we get along. And that's how we become more harmonious. That's how we become more productive in the long run. That's how there's less squibbles and, you know, the type of arguments where people yell and kill each other. But we want the type of arguments where people accept the argument on itself, not who it's coming from. And that's going to be a win-win-win. That's better for everyone. It's more productive. There's more prosperity, more peace. Overall, it's better. And that's what I feel here has been argued and demonstrated. So that's where you don't destroy civilization and have to start all over again, perpetually being ignorant. This is where you can exponentially, perpetually have prosperity, peace, wisdom, understanding, love, and truth. And so thank you for listening again. Got about 5 more minutes if you quickly want to call in. Otherwise, just going to end this episode here. We're on every Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Today's October the 1st, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for listening to the Philosophy Show. And feel free to call in. I'd love to hear from you if you want to debate something, if you want to double check something, if you want to refine something, see if an idea, get an honest skeptic look at it, or whatever. Have a great day and beyond. Thanks for listening to the Philosophy Show. We'll talk with you later. Take care.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that we came upon as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.
Hey, hey, hey. By the way, you notice in the title I made this, How to Make Sure Artificial Intelligence Doesn't Eventually Kill Us. And I didn't put at the end there the last word, intentionally or non-intentionally, because does that really matter? And let me know your thoughts and what you think about this. Take care now and later and forever and beyond. You can go now. The show is over, and it has been for about the last half a minute or so. So have a great day, and we'll see you next week. And don't forget to check out some of our past episodes, like the very first one, Something from Nothing. And there's another one I had on economics. I'll have to bring that up again, but something about economics in the 21st century. And we'll take care, and we appreciate you listening. I do, at least. Here we go.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that we came upon as it gathered up so much rain.